Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 190. I am Chris, joined by Fozzie.
It's like 200 years of podcasting right there.
Close.
I don't think that's how it works, but...
It's exactly how it works.
One podcast a year.
That's it.
And Earl is with us as Tony and Jeff are MIA today. Well, Jeff may join us.
As I was to say, Tony's not MIA. We know where he is.
Yeah, he has some sort of meeting or something that he's...
Well, the Hit Your Fan Cup has to meet sometime, so...
Right.
It's a busy week for them.
It's been a busy week in games, too. A little bit. Yeah, we finally started having some games come out. And there was a lot of news this week, too, so...
Not much good.
No, not a lot of good news. Some okay news, I guess.
There was mad news, there was terrible news, and there was maybe one or two decent news articles.
Right. Yeah, it's been a rough week, but it's getting to, it's
for... Don't say better.
Well, no. I mean, it could get worse over the next couple of weeks. It's end of fiscal year for a lot of companies, and it's where we're going to start making cuts, yeah. So, we'll get to some of that shortly, though. Why don't we talk about what you guys have been playing? Fozzie? Anything new?
Shit, what have I been playing? Oh yeah, I've been playing Plants vs. Zombies. Garden Warfare.
Yeah?
Yeah, I know you have it too, we haven't played yet, but, it's good. Like, I figure I kinda have, like, what games I want. Like, which is going to be my competitive co-op game. This is like my casual co-op game, so I figure like this is a game that I can go to when I kind of, you know, they're not very long as far as match wise.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Probably like 10 minutes at most. And it's got a cool little like horde mode too, but yeah, I mean it's fun and it's not, again, it's kind of just relaxing compared to what like Titanfall is probably going to be like, you know?
Sure.
So yeah, I've been enjoying it. It's pretty bare bones.
Yeah, it's a little light on content.
Yeah, and I'm not like a huge like Plant vs. Zombie guy. I mean, I know kind of what the things like, what they are, but I don't know. I'm having a good time with it. It's $40, so I mean, it could be worse. I think that's a pretty sweet spot for it. I'd say maybe 30.
I think 30 would have made it a much better value.
40 is like, that's kind of teetering on it, but still at that price point for a next gen game. And again, like I didn't have anything in my arsenal for Xbox One games as far as like co-op, you know, or like kind of like that type of co-op. So, it's good to have kind of another multiplayer game to play besides Titanfall. Because even though I'm going to play the hell out of that, I still need something else to kind of play on the side too.
Right, and this is definitely more whimsical and like less serious, so.
Right.
And it does have the, I think it's called Garden Ops, which is basically a horde mode.
I think, yeah.
It's an 11-wave horde kind of run through. And that can be quite fun, so.
Yeah, and you know, it's pretty difficult. It's definitely not like, you'd think it'd be like a kid-friendly game. I mean, it is, but, yeah, Horde mode is kind of like Mass Effect's multiplayer, where it was really difficult. If you don't play with four people, it's like nearly impossible to play anything but easy.
Yeah, they don't scale the enemies to, how much players are playing. So, if you're playing as one player, you're getting the same amount as four players would get, so.
Do they give you computer partners in
that
regard?
No, if you're playing by yourself, you're just playing by yourself.
Yeah.
So that's not even like it scales up with like four people on the screen at all.
No, it's just you against what they would normally drop in there. And evidently playing split screen, there's no end to it. It's just kind of a never ending mode.
Really?
I played split screen with my son, and if you play the mode with other people online, it ends after wave 10. Like wave 11 is kind of like an evac wave. You get to get to the chopper or the Dave's like flying RV
or whatever.
Yeah. There's no evac wave if you're playing just a split screen co-op. I think my son and I got to like level 15 before we finally died, and that was just like, all right, I'm kind of done now. Like, it's just the same enemies over and over again.
Yeah, it's really weird, like, why they did that.
So, like, does the strategy change? Like, how many maps are there? Because it seems like you both kind of set aside on content, but it also kind of sounds like you play through it once and you kind of get it down.
How many? There's like four or five, maybe?
Yeah, I think there's five. There's the three different modes. There's Garden Ops, which is the co-op mode, which is kind of like the horde mode. And for that, you basically you get the whole map, but you're defending one section of it. You plant your garden and you're defending that area. Like, you can wander off, but there's no reason. You want to kind of stay close, plant your plants around your garden, and then, use the plant you have control of and attack the incoming zombies. For the other modes, like Vanquish, Team Vanquish is basically just Team Deathmatch, and that drops you into one of the five different maps, the full map. So sometimes they're a little big. And then the other one is Gardens and Graveyards, which is basically Rush from Battlefield, where the plants are the defenders, and the zombies are trying to take over, like hard points and change the gardens into graveyards. And then once that happens, they can move on to the next one. I haven't seen the zombies actually take an entire map yet. The best I've ever seen is like two or three. There's like six different hard points they have to capture, so it seems like it's a little bit favored towards the defenders.
The plants are always the defenders?
Yeah, the plants are always the defenders. Zombies are always the attackers.
That's
it. It makes sense, like, the way they have it worked out. It's cute, though. But yeah, only about five maps, Earl. So.
Okay. Seems like a bargain bin pickup.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's except for the split-screen two-player mode, it's, like, multiplayer only, so it's kind of like, is there going to be a community when it hits like $10 in the bargain bin? Which is, it's kind of weird that they released it 2 weeks before Titanfall. Not really sure what the crossover is there, but I mean, Fozzie and I are both going to get Titanfall, and
well, I mean, from what it sounds like it doesn't really cater to the fans versus zombie audience, which is mostly kids and people with smartphones. And it doesn't seem like it's meaty enough to kind of cater to the Titanfall audience, so it's an odd release.
I mean, my son likes it. Like, he's been playing a lot of it, and he likes Plants vs. Zombies, so.
Yeah, but that's because, would you have bought him an Xbox One for him to play this?
Would I have bought him an Xbox One for him to play?
Yeah.
No, but I mean, like, I don't think it's a system seller, but there are a lot of games that aren't system sellers.
Oh, no, I don't mean it's a system seller. I'm just kind of, because, I mean, it seems like it's something that, because you were interested in and you had an Xbox One, like, that's not the audience that, again, it's not the audience that typically plays Plants vs. Zombies.
Sure.
I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, I play it. It's an enjoyable time waster, but I'm not going to go out and buy a third-person shooter for it.
Right. I mean, I was interested in it because, I mean, I like Plants vs. Zombies, and it looked goofy.
So it's a great idea. I like the idea of a mature, let's go with, shooter, because we don't have many of those on the market.
Right. I mean, it's a whimsical class-based shooter. It's definitely different than anything else that's out there. So, I don't know. I still think $40, a little pricey for it. And then 2 weeks before Titanfall, weird placement for a multiplayer only game from the same company.
EA hasn't always been the brightest.
No, not at all.
I mean, I would have waited till April because there's nothing coming out, or the summer.
Right, like April, June, July. Any of that would have been good. Like, drop it then. I guess they wanted to get it out because it was announced at E3 last year, I believe.
Yeah, but it's such a different game. It's not like it has a ton of competition on the market. It's not like if you release it in August, it's going to, you know, it's just weird because Titanfall is the Xbox One's first big exclusive since launch to kind of put it up against that a week beforehand.
Yeah, weird. And it's also available on Xbox 360, so it's another one of those weird, like, cross-generation games. Sure how many people are going to play
it. I mean, for the time, or at least for the next foreseeable year, probably.
Right.
Yeah.
Playing anything else, Fozzy?
I mean, I've been moving this past week, so really I haven't had too much to do, or as far as, like, gaming-wise. I want to get back to Witcher. Here's, like, my thing, is that I really want to get Dark Souls, I don't want to get it until I beat the first one, and I haven't even, like, started playing that one yet, but I really want that Steel Case book, too, so, like, it's really up in the air for what I'm thinking, but I think eventually I'll go back to Dark Souls, but yeah, I only really played that Plants vs. Zombies.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Earl, what have you been up to?
Mostly I'm just going through old games because apparently my 360 hard drive filled up with a bunch of free games I never touched. So I started playing Sleeping Dogs this week and I just started playing Resident Evil Raccoon City.
Okay.
I guess for newer stuff, I finished Donkey Kong Country Returns Tropical Freeze. It doesn't have Returns in the title, whatever. a fun game. I'm sure you folks spoke of it before, so there's not much to add there.
Yeah, Jeff really liked it.
I think the Nintendo fanboy has spoken of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really fun game. I appreciate it. I don't think it's what they needed right now, because they already have enough platformers, but it is what it is.
Right. Can't really fight against that. How about Raccoon City?
I can see why if people don't like it. It's okay. I mean, I can't complain. I got it for $5, so that's really not much to complain about. But one, it's extremely dark, which I get for a survival, but you would give some type of exhaust or something to make it seem like you can actually see what's in front of you. Like, I get the idea, but it's really weird to have it dark in a co-op shooter.
Right. You'd want to be able to see stuff.
Yeah. It has some weird, I don't want to say enemy designs because a lot of them is taken from Resident Evil in general. It's just, that game's usually much slower paced and this is fast paced and it's a weird mishmash. Like, zombies aren't that threatening so far, though we played like the first two or three levels. Aren't that threatening when there's four people shooting them with assault rifles and machine guns? And it's not like the traditional Resident Evil where you have a set number of ammo. You usually get ammo maybe every two or three rooms, so it's not like you're ever running low on it. And you fight enough human characters to get additional guns, so.
Okay.
The challenge isn't necessary in killing those things. It does kind of get tedious because it does seem to have a really terrible hit detection as well at times. Like, you get headshots and it will just kind of bounce them back and you'll have to aim it because they have some weird physics where they kind of wall wobble once they get hit. So you have to line up the headshot and wait for them to get back in place or try to hit them while their head and body's moving, which isn't fun. Or you can just use an assault rifle and spray and pray, and that usually works as well. And it has some vague directions at times. Like, it will tell you to do something. And not really, like, there's an enemy you encounter in the first level that has, like, a one-hit KO. And it just tells you to shoot it. And it doesn't tell you that you shouldn't, like, go revive your teammates if they're down. Because it's an automatic, you can't even, like, dodge past it. Like, if you get within its hidden range, it's a one-hit KO. Which I think is a cheap mechanic in any game.
Yeah,
but yeah, like I said, $5. Yeah, I could see why it was kind of glossed over. It's not even that. I don't want to say it's not that great of a co-op game, but it doesn't have any co-op elements so far. Like anything that's like, you know, like some games, it's like you can give your teammate ammo or you can help them up and stuff. This is just kind of you're doing your thing, they can do their thing. There's a parts like Gears of War where you need everybody to kind of further the story so that they all at the door or something like that. Other than that, it's like do whatever you need to do until we tell you it's time to form up again.
Well, for $5, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, I paid $5. I don't know other people paid. I think it was 50 when it came out.
Yeah, it was full price armor. It dropped really quickly, armor as well.
I wonder why.
So is that, that's about it?
Yeah, unless you want to hear about some fun Candy Crush Saga adventures.
I think we're good. I played some more Thief. That game's okay, although I have hit some weird frame rate issue where the game was perfectly playable for the first couple chapters and now it's really stuttering on my PC, so I might have to uninstall and reinstall it and see if I can get it working a little bit better. That game's okay. I don't know. I kind of wish I had waited and just got South Park first, but
I told you.
I also figured I would be done Thief by now, but not, so South Park just have to wait a little bit longer, which I hear that's a good game, though.
I hear it's a good game, and also kind of the type of game that's probably going to be half off in by the end of the month.
Possibly.
What, South Park?
It's just out of competition this month, and I think enthusiasm, it seems like a good game, I just think enthusiasm for it kind of died down after the multiple
the other days. I mean, I've seen good amount of the people I follow on Twitter playing it, but that could just be that it's like really outside of Thief, the first kind of big game of the year. And it's surprisingly good. Like, I kind of expected it to be a giant shit show.
I think most people did after, what was it, the day four times?
Yeah, and then like, delayed right before it was supposed to come out this last time. It was like a couple weeks from release and they delayed it again, which Obsidian has, that's happened before, and you kind of appreciate Alpha Protocol, but that game had issues.
Yes, and, from what I understand, it was because I paid it way after it came out, and they patched it out of the problem that I enjoyed as much.
That could be. Yeah, that game came out nearly broken when it first released, so I wasn't holding out a lot of hope for
South Park,
but and it turned out good, and that actually gives me some hope for Watch Dogs, which got a release date, so... I know the two aren't being developed by the same, but same kind of situation where late delay, and I lost a lot of confidence in that game. But
wait, you want to talk about that now, or are you gonna?
Oh, well, we could jump in. Cause I didn't play anything else outside of that, so unless you want to talk like Call of Duty or Battlefield, which at this point everybody knows how both those games play, so. Let's jump in the news. Watch Dogs got a release date. May 27th.
I was surprised it was that early. I'm glad.
That's 7 months. I don't know if that's early, but...
I was expecting a 2 weeks after, really. I was honestly expecting it to come out the Tuesday E3 started. Kind of just throw it out to the wolves and... Or not. Like, the wolves wouldn't be there if they'd be covering new shit.
I think then people would have gotten very suspicious of it.
I mean, like, I don't know. May 27th it's 2 weeks before people are kind of going to be, but at least it kind of is going to get its own room to breathe as well, so.
Yes, because its only major competition isn't competition, because they also announced that, well, I think they've said this before, but the Wii U version is whatever right now.
Right. It'll be sometime this year, but
possibly.
Yeah.
Because the only other game coming out around that time is Mario Kart.
Right, and they don't really compete with each other, so.
Yeah. I know people, I haven't really seen the trailers because I saw this at Comic-Con last year and I wasn't too sold on it, but people are complaining, I guess, because it's gotten a graphical downgrade.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I haven't seen anything side by side, but, it seems that it's been downtuned a bit. Just weird.
Well, I mean, is it though? Because we've never actually seen it running on anything other than a PC up until now.
But I'm kind of surprised they're still not just showing that. Like, just keep going with the PC version.
I don't know Ubisoft's decisions, but right. They seem to be a bit open with this. I think they also came out and said that part of the reason it was delayed was just that they found elements of the game to be repetitious.
So it's Assassin's Creed?
I mean, repetition's a big part of open world games.
Right.
I don't know what they found that was repetitious or what they changed in 7 months, but I'm curious to see.
Or how much can you change? Like, well, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how that turns out.
Yeah. I think a lot of it's just that has kind of diminished since it's not a, because I mean originally it was kind of the next gen showcase. It was the game that you got because it looked awesome, and we've already kind of gotten the foot of that now. So I'm kind of curious to see what its pace is going to be after Titanfall and Infamous and
right. This was pretty much going to be the like de facto launch game like for people. Like this was the game that people were kind of going, I'm going to get a PS4 and Watch Dogs. Or I'm gonna get an Xbox One and Watch Dogs, and now it's like with Titanfall out there, Infamous out there. Like, does this have that luster?
They really did fuck themselves over by delaying it as much as they did. I understand, like I'm not for one for putting out bad quality games, but
yeah,
it kind of did get like you think about it. In November, there is nothing. I mean, you had games like Assassin's Creed, but it was a game people were excited for, and just to delay it, I mean, like, there's nothing else like it. Like, but now, you're right, I mean, now it's kind of getting, I don't know what's coming out in May, but, I mean, it's just kind of getting lost in transition.
Well, it's not that, right now there's not much competition in May, it's the fact that by then people will have seen games that are better than it, especially if it has gotten this massive downgrade. And it's also, like Chris said, it's also kind of leading up towards E3 where everybody's just kind of looking for what's next. Like, we've seen Watch Dogs now for, by the time it comes out, what, 3 years? 2 years?
Let's see, the Polygon story I have open, 2012 was when they announced it, so.
Well, and remember that trailer, like, everyone looked at it like, oh my god, it looks so awesome. But yeah, it has kind of lost on that luster because it doesn't look as good as, like, other games out there now. So, what really impressed people, I mean, it's just, it's not as impressive. I don't know.
Right. I mean, I guess we'll just have to wait till May 27th to see how it turns out, but I hope it turns out okay. I'd like something new to play around then.
Yeah, it looks cool. Like, I like the fact, like, it looks pretty sweet. You can control the city, and there's just, like, there's a lot of cool things that, like,
that's the part of the game that frightens me, because like, I saw it at Comic-Con last year. And they were talking up, like, what they talked about seemed impressive, what they showed wasn't, it just seemed like GTA. And, cause like, the way they saw it is like, you can control anything in the city, you can kinda hack anything, and the way it was demoed was basically you have, like, sensor points that are, pop up during certain things, and now you then can you interact with it. And usually it's nothing fancy other than holding a button until it prompt activates and you get to hack this grenade or something like that.
Yeah, that's far less interesting than what I was looking forward to.
Yeah, I was looking for, maybe they took that 7 months to fix that stuff and make it better, but that's what they showed, because I remember they were talking about, like, how, you know, in other open world games, how you have you followed this dotted line. We're not going to do that. And the first thing they show is setting a way marker, and you go into a mission by using that dotted line. They just told me they weren't going to do, like, other games, so, yeah.
just little ones. let's see. I guess we'll let's cover the bad news first.
I was gonna do that. Okay.
Disney Interactive laid off about 700 people.
Oh shit!
Which is impressive, because I did not know they were that big.
And that's only about a quarter of its workforce, so they're really big. Yeah, we're talking like 2,800 people that they had working for them.
The hell is it, are they producing over there?
I don't know.
A lot of it is they do a lot of mobile and browser-based gaming.
Yeah, which is where these layoffs came from. So.
Yeah, because if you ever watch TV, like Nick and Disney have these huge, really cheap to make games. They always advertise like on their website and stuff. Fake popular shows, so I assume that's where those people went.
Yeah, Polygon lists some of the games that the people that were laid off had worked on is Disney City Girl, never heard of that before. Marvel Avengers Alliance.
Heard of that.
Pirates of the Caribbean, Isles of War.
Nope.
That screams mobile game right there.
Yeah. And then Star Wars Galaxies and Ultima Online.
Star Wars Galaxies.
Which, I mean, I don't know exactly what they had in going on with either one of them. Like, I mean, they obviously own Star Wars, but I thought that was an EA game. So both of those I thought were EA properties. So don't know. It's kind of a shame. There's a lot of... with the rational closing and now this, there's a lot of game industry folks out there looking for jobs.
Yeah, I think I tweeted it. I think between Irrational, Sony, Santa Monica, and now this, there has been about 1,000 layoffs in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's pretty high. It's
a very crowded job market.
Yeah.
That's what scares me about, like, trying to, like, get into the gaming industry is that there's all these people with years of experience looking for jobs. Like, why the hell would they take take a chance on someone that doesn't even have any experience? Like, it's crazy. Just like the turnover ratio is insane.
Well, it also depends on if a lot of these people want to get back into gaming, because a lot of the times when this happens, a lot of these people end up going into like mobile gaming. And not necessarily AAA development. And I can't imagine these 1,000 people kind of making an impact. Because how many people want to relocate, want to uplift their family, and start over again?
Right. I mean, some will. But...
Some will, but I mean, 1,000 people, that's a lot of manpower.
Right.
Oh. No, you're right.
I mean, that's like 2 Assassin's Creed games right there. Maybe one. I don't know how many people they use anymore.
It's about 1,000, you're right.
Yeah, I watched that whole credits. It was about, like...
That's 7 hours long.
It's really bad. It's, like, worse than, like, big-budget movies at this point.
Like, if you actually sit there and watch it, your screen will go into sleep mode. Like, or your controller will shut off. Like, it's bad. It takes not bad. I mean, it's... great that, you know, that many people are employed on these games, but...
Yeah, I think what always frightens me is that we always hear about these layoffs and studio closures, but you don't hear anywhere near as many kind of openings of new studios.
Okay, so you want to hear opening of a new studio?
Yes.
I give some happy news. Criterion, the former founders, the ones that recently left EA, they have They announced their new company. It's called Three Fields Entertainment. It's a new gaming studio. I don't know how many people they've added on. It's right now it's the two people, Alex Ward and Fiona Sperry, who were the Criterion founders. So, nice to hear that they kind of are getting back into it. Maybe they can assemble some of their old team and create something new and cool.
Did they say what type of game they want to make?
No.
Okay, you see, that's because that's the, it's like a lot of these people end up going into mobile. And that's never, I mean, I don't mind mobile games, it's just we end up with a lot of samey games in the retail space.
Right. I mean, hopefully it's a big
racer.
Yeah. Something like that. Something Burnout-ish. That'll be nice. But back to the sad news.
Yeah.
There's more sad news. So, Naughty Dog and Amy Hennig have evidently split up. It's a weird story. I don't know if you guys followed it at all. Amy Hennig, who was the creative director on the Uncharted series, and who was most recently working on Uncharted 4, has left Naughty Dog, and rumors are, and Naughty Dog is kind of coming out and saying these aren't true, but the rumor is that she was forced out of the company, so.
Okay, see, this is, I mean, I don't want to be paranoid, but this is kind of reading in between the lines. They came out to say that the two people who were name dropped had nothing to do with it. They didn't say anything about her being forced out or anything. It doesn't sound like it was a decision she made on her own. They just were like, it wasn't these two guys who were involved with it.
Yeah, that's actually the headline I'm reading right now from Polygon. It says, Naughty Dog says game directors were not involved with Amy Hennig's departure. But that doesn't mean that she was not forced out by somebody else in the company, though. You're exactly right, Earl.
They definitely take the responsibility. I mean, I think that's what they're trying to put the message out there. That it wasn't the other two guys, it was them.
But
They
didn't say anything of the sort. They just came out and said that these two guys are getting their name. We don't like the fact that they're getting their names thrown in the mud, and that's about it. And I guess this will kind of tie in. Because, I mean, compared to what happened with Jack Trenton today, he got a full press release, he got his final stays, he got to talk about his time with Sony.
Yeah, he's gone now after 19 years.
Which is insane.
When did that happen?
This afternoon, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so Jack will not be there at the E3 press conference.
Which will be interesting, because he was the most human face at Sony, I thought. I guess you count their PR mascot in Kevin Butler, but that...
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to bring him back.
Not after they sued him. That would be weird.
Yeah, that's a weird day for PlayStation.
Yeah, I will say this much, and I hate to sound negative, well, too negative, I guess, but if this was Sony and Microsoft, and in the span of a week, you lost 50 people phoning your studios in a cancellation of a new IP, you lost the head of one of your major franchises, and the CEO of your American branch got
the
company.
The sky would be falling if this was Microsoft. Like, it's really weird how people have responded to Sony over the last, like, 18 months or so.
It's because people... I think people can't... They don't want Sony to be in a terrible position. But of the three, this really does sound like a very bad situation right now. I mean, again, you could be reading... I mean, again, we all know the company as a whole is hurting. So it could just be part of their restructuring and cost-cutting. They're selling buildings, they're getting rid of manpower, they're trying to, you know, cut that $1 billion loss as much as possible. But all these things happening so close together just seems really, paints a bad picture.
Yeah. And wouldn't it be funny if Jack Tran and Amy Hennig ended up over at Microsoft?
That'd be great.
Be hysterical.
Or they could start... They could start a new company. They have about 1,000 impossible employees right now.
Right.
They just need to find a publisher who's willing to pay that many people.
I hear Amazon's hiring
you. You have
game
a creative
developers.
Need, you have a... if I was Amazon, I would look into all of that talent, build in a new studio. I mean, it's an amazing set of people. You have people from Bioshock. You have people from God of War. You have, you know, an experienced script writer with Amy in Uncharted, and she did parts of The Last of Us.
And
Jack Trenton is a very public, you know.
Oh, yeah, he's great in front
of
the
He has a lot of connections talent. If you want to, you know, build the console.
Like, it's weird when you sit there and...
Yeah, Amazon. I mean, if you want to throw those bucks.
Well, and they just bought, Double Helix, too, so it could be weird.
This would have been a better investment, but
yeah,
I guess they didn't know that at the time.
Yeah, it's a weird couple days weird couple weeks for Sony actually. So we'll see how they turn out. I mean, they're obviously doing great right now with sales of PlayStation 4. So
yeah, but I always think that's I hate beating up on Sony. They're my favorite beat up. Figure though. It's like one of those half the glass half full things because they do well, but the fact is they aren't making a ton of money. Like if you look at their financials for the last quarter, I think with the successful launch of the PS4, the Vita and the PS3 on the market, they made $35 million. Which isn't that much.
Yeah, for a $1 billion corporation that's pennies.
Especially when that $1 billion company is losing $8 billion a year.
Right.
It's not much. I mean, it's one of their more profitable branches, so they probably won't close it down, but it's not something that's going to really help them in the long run because it doesn't make enough. And I think Disney has shown that before, but video games is a very, high risk, low rewards type industry. Very few companies make it big, and if they do, it's not that much.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we're seeing all this consolidation and in the industry. And those B-tier games, just like AA games, have kind of gone away.
Yeah, and I guess we'll cover this, but the other trend that I see and I really don't like is that instead of like doing anything, everybody's just kind of throwing out their lineups with re-releases of games.
Yeah.
Because, this week we got announcements of Guacamelee Super Deluxe Turbo Edition or something like that. Pixel Junk Shooter?
Yeah, so that's something I've noticed from Sony, and their big PlayStation Plus release for PlayStation 4 this month, yeah, for March. It's like Awesome Knots or something, the PS4 edition. Like, I don't know. Like,
and Dead Nation just came out.
Right. Yeah, Awesome Knots I think is March or is April or whatever. I don't know, but yeah, Dead Nation was the one, right? That's their PS Plus thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a game that's like 2 years old on the PS3.
I remember that game.
It was cool. Yeah, yeah it was an RA game, but
top down one.
Yep.
Like the top-down shooter?
Yeah, the top-down twin-stick shooter.
No.
Which they already gave out for free after their PSN hack, which would make that game at least, 4 years old? Five years old?
Oh, yeah, yeah, even older, yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say, I remember playing that like in 2010, I think.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny, because a lot of this stuff wouldn't be that impressive if it had backwards compatibility. Because I remember when people made a big deal about X-Fail and Fowl being there at launch, and I'm just like, you can already play these games.
Right, these games are out there. I mean, I guess if you were coming from a 360 to a PS4, and you never had a PS3, like, that's interesting, but... I mean, you're still talking about games that are 2, 3, 4 years old.
Yeah. And, I mean, I don't blame Sony. It just seems like everybody is just trying to fill out a lineup for the first half of this year. After March, we are kind of bare dry.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's just weird that we're getting so many of them so quickly. I mean, Batman's out in a month. Yeah. Guacamelee, all of these games. It's just really weird.
Yeah, we had, what was it? The Assassin's Creed Liberation came out not too long ago, and the Tomb Raider re-released.
Rayman
re-released. There's word that, rumor, I guess, that
Mass Effect
might be coming.
Which I don't get, but... I mean, that'd be so, because it already has an HD trilogy collection, and I don't know what they can... That comes with all the DLC, so I don't know what they could add to that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, unless you, like, actually sit down and kind of rework Mass Effect 1.
That'd be great.
Which they probably, I mean, the whole point of this would be to get a cheap re-release.
Right,
I don't
so
think doing work on it's actually going to be cost effective.
They're just going to up-res the textures a bit and push it out there. I don't know. I'm sure at some point we're also going to see The Walking Dead Season 1 and 2 on PS4 and Xbox One. That has to be coming, right? Like,
At this point, I wouldn't put anything off the table for
release.
I mean, we could get an Uncharted collection this summer.
I wouldn't.
No, speaking of, I mean, the Vita is another one. God of War collection, Psy collection, Borderlands 2 port.
Yeah, the Borderlands 2 port is still really weird to me, but. I don't know.
I don't get it either, but they are doing their thing.
It's like that system in particular does not strike me as good for shooters.
Well, it's not even being good for... I'm a huge fan of Borderlands. I do not find Borderlands that engaging in single player.
Right, well, that as well.
And I've never found it to be much of a chore that I needed to grind when I'm away from it. Especially when it's 2 hours, 2 years later, like, I don't know how many people are going back to Borderlands 2 to get the Vita version to do all this cross-save stuff.
Not I. Let's see, what else do I got in news? There was a Mario Kart 8, limited edition announced that comes with a blue shell.
Which everybody loves. It's also, as of right now, I believe, only in Europe, so...
Yeah, I think it's a UK... which is a shame, because I would probably get that.
I was going to say, I've always loved the fact that Nintendo does special editions that nobody wants, but I guess I'm mistaken.
I would do it. Like, I would... It's stupid, but...
Yeah. This is why they don't do... They are terrible at... They have a world of stuff they can do, and they never do it. I mean, I think it would be better suited if you gave people, like, a Super Mario Kart or Mario Kart 64 on the Virtual Console, in addition to this, or maybe put the trophy with the steering wheel.
You'd think, but, yeah, so that's out there if you live in the UK. I guess that's kind of cool. GameStop is evidently... gouging the price on the PlayStation 4 camera.
What is the deal with that?
Yeah, so what's going on with that camera? Like, did they make 50 of them and then...
Evidently. Evidently they're really hard to get and...
what the fuck?
And GameStop is selling them for $10 more than the suggested retail price, so...
Oh, supply and demand, right?
Yeah. I mean,
I'm also really curious about that because everybody complains about the Xbox One coming with the Kinect, but everybody's looking for this PlayStation 4 camera.
Right. So, like, you're gonna spend an extra $60 for a camera that you didn't want with the Xbox One, but you want with the PS4.
What is it even doing on the PS4 other than Playroom right now?
I don't know, because the voice commands you can do with the, like, stock headset that it comes with. But they're evidently not that robust anyway, but
I just found it funny because I've seen people looking for this thing for months, and I'm like, why? And if it was one or two people, it's like, oh, it's just a weirdo. But a lot of people are just always talking about the fact they can never find it.
I don't know. Maybe they want to have sex on camera and broadcast it on Twitch. I don't know.
We live in the modern age. You can do that on your computer. You don't need a PS4 for that.
I don't have an answer. I don't know. Fozzie, do you have the camera?
Which one?
For the PS4?
Oh, no, I don't have a PS4.
Well, I did not get the camera. I already have a Kinect in front of my TV. I don't need another set of webcams. Let's see. I don't got a whole lot else here on the news bit. Normally Tony does the news, but Titanfall announced that they're gonna have a season pass. It's $25. And it'll have 3 map packs attached to it, so it's not too bad, I guess. I don't know what each of the map packs will have. I don't know what they each entail, but as long as there's at least 3 maps in each of them, I'm probably okay. So I know some people are a little upset about that, but whatever.
Screw you guys.
I don't get, like, DLC at this point should just about be expected with a game like this. I don't know. $25 for a season pass of 3 map packs, that seems reasonable. Compared
I'm
to,
like, never doing a first season pass ever again after fucking Bioshock Infinite.
Understandable. Especially since that was a clusterfuck, but at least with shooters, I feel that, you know, they're going to be more consistent.
Yeah, I guess that is true.
I probably wouldn't get the season pass until it would be closer to the first DLC coming out, though.
Right.
So, I mean, there's no point in giving them $25, you know, on the 11th when the first DLC is probably not going to come out till August.
Right.
So, yeah, but I also don't understand people getting angry about it. Nobody's forcing you to spend your $25, so. Twitch streaming coming to mobile games. Anybody care about that?
Always. I watch on Twitch. There's nothing I love more than watching video games being played by other people.
Mobile what? Like, are we talking phones or are we talking, like, Vita and stuff?
Phones, like, as in you will be able to live stream, like Earl could live stream himself playing Candy Crush.
Oh, that would be exciting TV.
Wouldn't it?
I just, like, I don't know who this caters to.
Right. Makes no sense.
Well, I mean, you say that, but who does, I mean, people put a lot of insane stuff online anyhow. I can see somebody putting themselves playing Candy Crush seriously.
Yeah, I guess.
Right.
I don't know, I watched Twitch over the weekend. I downloaded the app on Xbox One and gave it a look through. That's a goddamn nightmare trying to navigate. There's no easy way for me to, like, find particular users on it.
I guess if you're on the Twitch website, you can look for them, or...
Yeah, yeah. But
if you're on Twitter, everybody seems to tweet out their links every time.
So. Right, so I was, like, specifically looking on the Xbox One, and it's, like, listed by game or by genre, and it's like... But I don't care about that. I want to actually find a specific user, which I really didn't, but... I just wanted to, like, kind of test it out. I ended up watching Twitch Plays Pokemon for a bit. That was interesting.
Yeah, I only watched that because it's a fascinating social experiment.
Right.
And I haven't watched it since they booted it, so.
Yeah, now they're playing Pokemon Crystal or something.
Well, I think the official one's playing Pokemon Gold or Silver, and then there's a separate one that's playing Crystal.
Oh, because that was the one that was being featured on on Twitch. It was the one that had the most people watching it, was the Pokemon Crystal. I don't know. That was interesting.
Can I say the company that finds a way to actually make a Twitch game, make a game people actually play with Twitch, is going to hopefully make a decent chunk if they do it right, because that Pokemon thing topped out at like 100,000 people watching it and more playing it at one time.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
Also, that it was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
And I think that's, it was just fascinating because you've never seen anything like it before.
Yeah.
And there aren't many games that have that kind of cultural reference and the ability to do that. Like, you can't do that with, like, a Mario or an Uncharted or something like that.
No, that's what I was thinking. Like, I was thinking, what other games could you do this with? But you need something where you kind of can't die.
Yeah.
Where the game doesn't end. Like, I mean, it ends, but it only ends after you complete it, not... There's no end state. There's no fail state to it. So, like, in Pokemon, like, you, if you lose, you, your Pokemon get knocked out. And
and the more important thing, especially in is you keep the progress, because a lot of other RPGs, once you get KO'd, you'd lose all the progress memories. And they weren't great at saving either, so that would be another one.
No, not at all.
So, yeah, there aren't a lot of games that are catered for that type of thing. I mean, most, it would be like a strategy game or RPG, and not a lot of them are as lenient as Pokemon is.
Yeah. I mean, that definitely... It was just a weird thing to watch, though. To just see the commands flying up my screen. It was crazy. But yeah, I don't know if I would sit down and watch somebody playing, like, Candy Crush or, you know, Marvel Puzzle Quest or... any of that stuff. Like, that would be really weird to me.
Words with friends is a guy of Scrabble.
Right. Although, there are weird games on Twitch. Like, so after watching a little bit of Pokemon Crystal, I ended up kind of searching the game category. And, I mean, there are people playing MMOs. Like, there were a bunch of people playing the Elder Scrolls beta that was going on over the weekend. But then there were people actually playing tabletop Dungeons and Dragons.
I think that would be cool. And again, but I imagine it's like one person just having a video feed of that and other people giving commands.
Well, I mean, this was legitimately like four guys and a dungeon master at a table.
Oh, okay.
It was weird.
And people were watching this?
There were 50 people watching it, yes.
Okay.
It struck me as something really weird.
Yeah, like if somebody had done it properly where you can actually kind of have like a dungeon... I don't play D&D, so I'm not going to sound like an idiot trying to describe what the hell they could have done. But basically, if you actually twitched it and not just have people watching you play, I think it would have been cool.
That could be interesting. So, Fozzie, you've live streamed before.
I have.
Like, are you looking forward to the integration in Xbox One next week and for Titanfall?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think, like, the best thing about it is just how easy it's going to be. When I streamed before, usually it was kind of an ordeal. First off, if you've never streamed that game before, even setting up the game and, like, just getting it running... getting, like, the camera situated, all that shit. Like, sometimes that would take, like, 30 minutes, and it's not even guaranteed. So the worst thing is, like, telling people, hey, I want to play this game, and then, oh, wait, I don't know, the game's not wanting to work with Twitch, or it's not wanting to work with my computer. It's just, it's really weird. But I think that's the great thing about, like, having these next-gen consoles. It's just so easy. It really takes all the work out of it. So... I don't know. I think Titanfall is a pretty fun game to even watch. So I think that's going to be probably one of the better games as far as if you're thinking about streaming.
Like, right.
You can definitely, there's like some cool moments. Like I would watch people, I'd be like, man, like especially people that are really good at the wall jumping. Like it's really awesome just seeing how they manipulate the level to like their advantage. And you can get some really good like insight from watching people. So. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know how other people feel, but I think it's going to be a great thing to have on the Xbox.
And it's evidently really going to be really easy to use. Like just go Xbox Broadcast and.
Yeah, I mean it looks pretty similar to how like the PS4 does it. So, yeah, I mean it just looks great. Like it'll just be really cool and. Hopefully it'll bring some new people in. I haven't streamed in a while, so I have like 30 people people that like follow me, so yeah, it'll be interesting.
Well, we'll find out, like, hopefully on Tuesday. We'll see if it works.
I don't even know if I'm going to try that or try Titanfall on Tuesday, to be honest. I mean, I might get on for a little bit, but I just don't want to be disappointed, and I feel like I'm going to be disappointed. That game is just online. There's not even a single player aspect to it.
Right.
It's going to get fucking destroyed. I don't care what anyone says. Servers always go down the first days.
What were you going to say, Earl?
Oh, no, I was going to ask, how does he feel with, because I imagine this would also come with an influx of competition and everybody, since everybody can now do it, like, what is that, if, like, I guess everybody, if, who watches it if everybody can do it at once, or if it's that easy?
That's a good question.
Wait, what'd you say?
Like, if, you know, you can easily do it on the PS4, now you can easily do it on the Xbox One, so, like, who's gonna be left to watch if everybody else is just, like, streaming what they're doing?
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing, is, like, I don't think everyone's going to use it. Like, and I always see whenever, like, people are on Twitter, they, like, post it, like, I always do kind of want to check out their streams, because, again, a lot of people really don't have both consoles at the moment. A lot of people still have just the one, like, especially this generation above all. I kind of feel like I've been able to go these past 4 or 5 months without, by this point, last generations, I would have really been, like, itching for a PS, like, the new, like, console, but, I mean, PS4 is just not really appealing to me just because I have an Xbox One. I feel like there's not too much difference at the moment. But, I mean, again, it's not like everyone's going to be streaming, like, Titanfall. Yeah, people will be streaming that, but other people might be streaming Plants vs. Zombies or some other games, you know? I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it goes, but I'm looking forward to it.
Do you talk in a sexy voice when you're streaming, Fozzie? Because, I mean, I hear that's the key to getting people.
Yeah, that and go shirtless. Love it.
I don't think I'll be streaming a lot.
Well,
like,
maybe you'll, like, go and, especially with the friends, is how they changed in the spring update. Like, it's pretty cool. You can see it says zero broadcasting right now.
Okay.
But eventually,
you'll be able to know how many people are broadcasting.
Yeah, exactly. So you might just be like, ah, fuck it. You know, I don't really feel like gaming. I'll just watch some people just broadcast, and then.
And you could join their parties. Like,
yeah.
You can just jump right in, because they fixed that, so.
Right. Oh my god, yeah,
Which is nice. It's nice that they finally got the Xbox One party system up to the standards of the Xbox 360.
Yeah, it's weird, but, I don't know, I guess, like, I look back at the 360 and how shitty, or, like, just, like, think about the 360. Remember those little blades that they had?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is weird that they took a step back, but at least they have, like, at least they're doing something about it. You know, I mean, it's done. And now it's, like, infinitely better, because really before this, it was absolute shit. But, you know, thank God, I don't know who decided, but someone's like, hey, we should probably change it back, because people are getting pretty pissed.
Well, I mean, if rumors were to believe, it was just that it wasn't done in time for launch, and they shipped it as was, and was always planning on fixing it later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. I'm looking
forward to it, though. But, yeah, I think that's it for news, unless you guys have anything.
Well, you missed a big one. You missed Batman.
Oh, right.
Old Batman.
That's yes. That excitement in your voice.
No. I'm a little burned out on the Arkham series, but, yeah, Batman Arkham Knight was announced. The trailer did look nice.
CG's always easy to see.
Yeah, it was a nice looking trailer.
It was a hype trailer, and that's exactly what they needed.
Like, I like Batman Arkham Origins. I don't get the the psych for it. But I do see Chris's point about being burnt out. This is the fourth game in, I guess, 5 years now?
Yeah, it's been a lot very quickly.
And, I mean, so far the major addition that they're kind of showcasing for this one is driving, which I know a lot of people have always wanted. I don't get the purpose because I thought guiding was a more than sufficient way of traversing the landscape.
Right, and the actual streets of Gotham were shit. Like, if you were actually down on street level, like, driving that would be a nightmare. They're going to have to remodel the city drastically.
And they started with that, and this always turns me off from open world games. They could say, I think, 3 or 4 times the size of Arkham City. I'm like, yeah, I did more Arkham City. I thought Arkham City, because it doesn't really fill out the world with a lot of interesting stuff. Like, putting in hundreds of rich puzzles doesn't count as engaging content to me.
Right.
It's one of the reasons why I prefer Asylum, is that they built a world, and that world is very tight and compact, and they didn't add all this stuff because they needed to. But, addition of the Batmobile is it's what people wanted, but I don't get the purpose, because guiding was always awesome. Nobody ever complained about that. And you can still do it, but what is the purpose of driving then?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Fair enough.
The Batmobile looks cool.
Oh, the Batmobile looks awesome. I love the Batmobile, but it's something iconic that's related to Batman that people wanted to see in the game without thinking about why, other than it's what he drives all the time.
Right, in a game where you don't need to drive. I don't know. I hope it turns out okay.
I'm sure it's going to be fine. I hope it turns out to be better than, well, they haven't produced a bad game yet, but it is a formula that hasn't really evolved yet, and I don't really know how you can evolve it, which is the weird situation they find themselves in, that they got it right the first time.
Yeah. And that I think that was my thing. Like, I really liked Arkham Asylum, and City came along, and it was kind of the same thing.
I'm just waiting to figure out how they showcase this as the Joker, since they killed him. Spoilers, I guess.
I mean, is it, like, he was dead at the end of City, right? So.
Yeah.
Thought so, yeah.
But this is comic books, no, but he died at the start of City as well.
Right, well, that's what I'm thinking, like, and Harley Quinn is in the game, like, the Joker's in this game. He has to be.
He's been in every other one, and it'd be really weird to have the finale of this trilogy, as they call it, even though there's 4 games, without the main bad guy for 3 of them.
Right.
We'll see. I'm just crossing my fingers. And I don't want to sound gloomy. I'm super excited for this game. I'm a huge fan of the Arkham series. I'm a huge fan of Batman. It's just, well, one, CG trilogies don't really do anything for me. If I wanted badass Batman, I have enough movies.
Right. And there was no gameplay shown of this at all, right? Like,
yeah.
So the trailer I saw was pretty much it. Okay.
And like I said, like what they're adding right now just seems like it's something that the fans wanted without any kind of, and again, we'll see more of it. It's out this year, but it's like, yeah, driving the Batmobile sounds fun, but I don't know if it's necessarily new or what I want from a sequel. I don't know what I want from a sequel, but this doesn't seem like it's doing anything with playing it safe right now. On the bright side, Conroy's back, and I'm always excited to hear him.
Yeah, he does a really good Batman.
He does an amazing... He does the Batman. There is no other Batman in my head.
No Batman.
Even Mr. Growly voice himself.
He does a really good cool. Batman. So.
Again, was he in Asylum?
Wait, what happened?
Was he in Asylum?
Yeah, he's the Batman voice for Asylum and City. But he's not in Origins.
Yeah, somebody else did him in Origins.
Who did you both play Origins?
I played Origins, and...
I have played Origins.
You like it all?
Yeah, like I said, I actually prefer Origins over City, but that I seem to be in the minority with that. I think Origins' biggest problem is that it came after Asylum and City, and it just feels like we've done this twice before. They didn't really add much new to it. Uh-huh. And the thing that really gets tiresome is that they set up these interesting concepts, and it's like, oh, we'll just make it be the Joker because he's Batman's main bad guy.
Yeah, and they kill Origins with that, because it's like, oh, it's going to be, was it the Red Hood, Red Skull, Red Hood?
Black Mask.
Black Mask, that's it. It's like, oh, it's going to be this guy, and he's, you know, hiring these six assassins. Not really.
Yeah, that's what I always say, is the concept they sold you on to fans is extremely fascinating. And one day I would actually like to see a game based off of that, the idea of Batman kind of torturing all of these assassins over the course of a night and, you know, kind of being more and more in peril. Instead, it's like, oh, it's the Joker and it's another, instead of the Asylum, it's a prison break this time.
Right.
So, yeah. But other than that, I thought it was an improvement. I found the open world a lot more engaging than it is in City just because they do street crimes. I don't know if they're going to have this in Night, but I also like detective mode, like detective.
I like the improvements to detective mode in Origins.
Yeah.
Like, you actually kind of, like...
are a detective while you work out a case and stuff like that.
Right, which I was actually really cool. It was just that some of the other stuff was just... done this before.
Oh, very similar to you, too. Yeah. And the one major addition they made to combat really just kind of breaks combat because it's an instant win object since the electric gloves negates any type of weakness that he has.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not a bad game. It's okay.
Yeah, and the problem is now it's extremely hard to recommend with Night out in less than, 6 months?
Yep.
And if you really wanted your Batman fix for cheaper, that Gate Origins is out in 3 weeks? I guess a month and a half.
Yeah. Did anybody play that one?
Which one?
Black Gate Origins, the side-scroller one.
Mm-mm.
Okay, cause that's coming out to, Xbox 360 and PS3, right?
It's going out to PS3, Xbox, and the Wii U.
Oh, and the Wii U. Yes. I keep forgetting about the Wii.
And PC, if you're into that.
Everybody does.
It was kind of funny, because I think it was Shat News who ran it, and they had an Xbox 360, PS3, PC, and Xbox 360. And I'm like, oh, I guess the Wii U, they're so used to the Wii U not getting multi-platforms that they just put 360 twice.
That's probably true. I think that's it for news, though, right? We don't have anything else?
Anybody else has gotten fired over the last hour and a half.
Yeah, I mean, that they're... didn't mention the... was it the Eidos... Montreal guys, they let go 27 people, the guys who made Thief, but that's not hugely surprising. Like, end of a project.
And the sad thing is that wasn't based on performance. That was just it's not fiscal yet. That one's just kind of contract work. The game's out.
Right.
We don't need these people anymore. That's kind of expected.
And that's kind of how that stuff always goes. Like these aren't. This isn't news layoffs. Like, these guys did contract work. Their contract is up. They now don't work for us anymore. That's just kind of the way this industry works.
I would dip towards next.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a negative. I was about to say you don't really hear about it in other industries, but other industries also work extremely different too, because like movies don't have. Like, you don't have a movie studio that you hire to make a movie. You hire people, and once the movie's done, they move on to something else.
Right, like, they're all contract work. Like,
and who knows, maybe gaming.
TV's
the same thing.
Right, it's weird that
yeah.
this is the thing for gaming, but It's also, there are a lot of people looking into the industry that don't really know how business is run. That's...
Yeah, I will say that about fans in general. Just always reading people's suggestions of stuff and what people should do.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it kind of sucks that Irrational was closed down, but the way people talked, it seemed like Take Two was in the wrong. Like, if it's gonna take 6 years for them to make another game that really turns a profit, it's not really a wise financial move to keep them running while they work on that.
Right. But, you know, maybe they can throw some money at Ken Levine and he could do something else for them, but they don't need 200 other people or whatever. It's a shame, but that's just kind of how things work.
Yeah, it's a terrible, terrible thing. But I think sometimes people need, and this is very hard to do, especially since we are consumers, to separate your feelings as a consumer with what's actually a proper business procedure. Because a lot of times we always complain about the fact that people take too long to actually cancel a game, and that's when you end up with crap that ends up closing down a studio after release, and it's been in development for 3 or 4 years. And people say, but it's still $4 million. But yes, it was in development forever, and nobody decided that, you know what, this isn't working, we're going to cancel it. There was an interesting article from Polygon this week about, I think it was, Singularity, about how Activision canceled it after 2 years in development, and then gave the studio 10 months to ship it, or they were done. And it's why you ended up with the game that you ended up with, but it was them putting a deadline on this project that had been in limbo for 2 years, not making them any money.
Right. At some point, companies need to get something back on their investment, so they either need to kill it and just push it out the door or write it off. They just can't keep dumping money into stuff, though.
Yes, which is why I am both a fan and hate Sony development process so much. There's no reason the Asgardian should still be in production at this point.
Yeah, no.
I can't imagine that game giving them back the money they invested in it at all.
No way, because if you look at the history of, like, Team Ico games, they're not huge sellers. that's an art house game of the highest level. Like, at best, it's going to sell 1 million copies. And we're talking, what, seven, eight years in development now?
Yeah.
It has to be a ridiculous amount that they've spent on it. And you're not going to get your money back.
I guess they're developing an engine or something. It makes no sense whatsoever for them to continue doing that. And, I appreciate what they do. They give their studios a lot of leeway. They allow them to take time to do what they need to do. And they put out a ton of polished games, but a lot of these games just don't do what they need to do when they hit market, and at some point you need to say, this isn't going to sell.
Yep. Well, I think that's it. I don't think there's anything else going on news-wise. Next week, what was that?
I think we covered it.
Yeah, we covered pretty much everything in news. So, game-wise, next week is Titanfall. Fozzie, myself, and Tony should definitely have some input on that when we record. Jeff has played South Park, and he will probably have played Dark Souls 2 by then as well. So, probably have some of that is going on. I think that's about it. Catch us on Twitter as usual. You can catch Earl on a variety of podcasts, Nerds on the Rocks,
wait,
and Dual Wielding.
Yes, way too many. And Twitter at @ER_NOTR, which I won't actually have anybody try to remember, but there you go.
Just look for people that myself or Tony respond to on a regular basis.
or if you ever see us making fun of Justin.
Yep. Just look for the hashtag. Is it damn it, Justin?
Yes.
Yeah, damn it, Justin. That actually shows up in my Twitter app when I do hashtag J. That auto fills in for me. It's fantastic. So, yeah, we'll be back next week. Say goodnight, Fozzie.
Good night, Fozzie.